join me now as we welcome Moss Brenzer and Sammy Heikkinen here. Hello. It's nice to have you both here.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Now, I do know you. I was going to say, I feel like I know you. I almost don't want to ask you to introduce yourselves, but there are people listening who don't know who you are. So I'm going to ask each of you to just let somebody listening know a little bit about yourself, and I'll turn to you first, Moss.
Yeah, my name's Moss. I am going to school for, you know, creative performance stuff. I love the radio, and I did the 48-hour film project this past spring.
Yeah, and you just graduated from City of Bridges,
yep.
I think, and are heading off to Point Park.
Yep.
Do you know what you'll be studying there, more creative?
Yeah, I'm going into their new program, Performance and Creative Industries. So I will get to do theater, film, radio, and business.
That's great. You are probably going to work with Don Marinelli. Have you met Don?
I believe I have. He's the head of the film department?
Yes.
Yes. I introduced myself to him at the 48.
He's sort of a guy with longish hair.
Yes.
Yeah, Don is a close friend. I've known Don for a long time, and there's a lot to learn from him. You'll enjoy his sense of humor.
Yes, I'm very excited.
And Sammy, good morning, and I'll let you give a little brief bio.
Yeah, so I also just graduated high school, and I'm going to be going into business and politics. The 48-hour film festival was the first time I ever did any sort of film project, so that was a really fun story. Basically begged Moss and C to let me do a film project with them.
You didn't beg.
And it was so awesome. It was so fun. It was one of the coolest experiences I think I've ever had. Aww. So I love that, yeah.
Yes, see, Sambart was going to be here with us today, who's another member of the folks who created this film and unfortunately could not make it. The film is called Death of a Tour Guide. I've watched it, and it's fun. I've watched most of it. I had to put it aside as I started to... I needed to get somewhere, but it's only about 9 minutes, I think.
5 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, it's that short?
Yeah.
So I was watching it this morning, and I had to get to a song, just like this song is ending right now, so I didn't get to finish it, but I can't wait to watch all of it. Can you two talk a little bit about the process? It kind of sounds like it's obvious, but not really. You have 48 strict hours to get this done, right?
Yeah. There is, you know, a very limited amount of prep work that you can do. And everything has to be created between the hours of, around 7 p.m. on Friday to 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, when the cutoff deadline is to submit your film.
Wow. And let's talk about the whole process. So imagine you register.
Yes. C and I registered together. C is the team lead. We, you know, split the cost of entry, which is, you know, like $100-something. We got our team together. C and I went to the kickoff event where we get our genre, the prop that we're required to use, the character, and the line that we're required to use, and then we're off.
Okay, so there's a bit of an Iron Chef aspect to this where you must use a prop. You're actually given the prop?
Yes. So this year it was a stringed instrument. We actually forgot about the stringed instrument until late Saturday night when we had to go back and film a clip with a stringed instrument in it. But we did get our character and our line. So all in all, our film qualified.
And the genre you were given?
The genre we had... You get to pick from two.
Okay.
Because if you get one that you hate, at least you have the other one. There used to be a rule where you could just draw a new one that you had to use if you hated both, but that rule doesn't exist anymore. So we got Fish Out of Water and Workplace Film. We used Fish Out of Water because we centered our film around the tourists because our required character was a tourist.
Interesting. Sammy is a first-timer up for this process. What struck you going through this?
I think how much effort is put into filming. I didn't really realize the amount of like just brute force it is to get everyone moving around. So it was so fun. I got to play the like required character. And so we got there, I think around like 8 a.m. We started filming. We filmed on a bunch of steps. One of the first things we shot was me like sprinting upstairs. And I remember it was like 9 a.m. And by 9:30, I was like, well, my workout is in for the day. And we moved around a lot. It was also, I think filming is a lot more, it's super fun, but more exhausting than I thought it would be too, because you have to get up, we're moving all the film equipment every time, you're setting everything up every single time, we're doing sound every single time, so every single scene you're kind of upheaving everything you set up and you're moving somewhere else. But I also think like how much fun it is. We had a great group. Everyone we worked with was so amazing, so it was just a very, very fun time. We rented out, well, not rented out actually, because you're not allowed to pay people during the project.
You're right? Not allowed to pay people or locations. You are technically allowed to rent film equipment.
Rent film equipment.
So
okay.
You can't pay an actor, you can't pay a crew member, you can't pay a location, but you could, you know, get a camera rental because not everyone has a camera.
Yeah. I know there was an arcade that we were able to go to for an
hour. I got
hour.
That for free.
Yeah, for free. They let us in early. So we filmed at an arcade for an hour, which was one of the coolest things that I've gotten to do, and
yeah.
It was awesome.
That was one of the like very minimal amounts of prep work that I did. I reached out to that arcade about 2 weeks beforehand to ask if we could film there because I knew that we wanted to film in an arcade. So there are a lot of things that you have to, you know, you get them on Friday and you just have to run with them, but there are kind of ways to build around, you know, what you may have already done. There's like a hard rule against, you know, stock footage and things made outside of the 48 hours that come into your film. But locations, it's kind of, you can just go.
Well, it takes some advanced planning.
Yes.
If you're going to get permission, if you wanted to film here, for example, probably we'd want to reserve more than, I mean, if it was critical, we'd probably want to reserve it more than 48 hours.
Yes.
In advance. I'm so curious about so many things. First, Masa, tell me about your interest in film and filmmaking, when you developed it, if you know, and what your history has been like with it.
My first film that I worked on in earnest was a 48-hour film project film. It was the fall 48 in 2020. I think.
So you would have been 15, maybe.
Yeah, somewhere around there. It was the fall 48, and if any listeners had done that 48 or had viewed it, you'll know that this was the double retro. So it was a historical event, and it was horror. So you got a horror genre and a historical event to build it around. So we got the 2008 housing crisis, and we filmed in an abandoned house. It was pretty awesome. That was the thing that hard launched me into film, and 2 years later I'm going to school for it in the fall.
What struck you to it just become so passionate about film based on that experience?
I think it's two things. I have a lot of thoughts about this, but obviously we're, you know, on a show, so I can't talk for 3 hours about what I think is so awesome about film. Initially for me, it was the need for organizational skills like the ones that I have. So especially in the student filmmaking scene in Pittsburgh, there aren't a lot of people who want to do the work of a producer, which is what I do. You know, there aren't a lot of people who want to sit down with a spreadsheet and hash everything out and know what's going to happen down to the minute on set. And there are not a lot of people who want to be the bad guy and say you're coming to set at 7 a.m. To set up your equipment. So the sort of vacuum in all of my friend groups for someone that was really passionate about, you know, film organization was sort of what got me into it, because it ended up being that a lot of people would ask me to produce on their projects. But as an actor myself and as someone who is an artist and a filmmaker, besides just sitting behind a spreadsheet, I love the subtlety of human expression that film can capture. I think that in terms of just facial expression and acting, there's so much of a nitty-gritty with film that you don't always get in theater, because you can always pull it back. which is, you know, what I love about the film medium.
That's Moss Brenzer, who is here with Sami Häkkinen from the 48-hour film festival. They created a film back in May called Death of a Tour Guide. We'll talk about the film in a minute. So do you think you're unusual in having a foot in each camp, somebody who is very creative, enjoys acting, and somebody who understands what it takes to be a showrunner or a producer and to make sure, you know, the train comes in on time?
I think that's something that's increasingly demanded of performing artists. The program that I'm going into at Point Park, which is the Performance and Creative Industries program, is built for that. I'm doing everything because in a world where the arts are increasingly deprioritized, it's vital that a filmmaker can step into almost any role, that a performance artist can step into almost any role. So I could do a musical, or I could film, or I could work radio, or I could teach. And that's sort of something that is becoming less unique, but is still hard to find, you know, in terms of sheer number of camps that I can be in. But it is something that's definitely demanded of someone who wants to do the performing arts full time.
Interesting. So a Swiss Army knife, so to speak, is the way to go.
Yes.
The ability to understand things and do different things. Now, Sami, I know Sami, as I said, pretty well. It's not like you need more to do. Say you're very, very busy with so many different things. Yeah, you found the time to do this, and you clearly enjoyed it a lot. And you mentioned this was your first experience creating a film. What got you interested in doing it?
I think so. I discovered my love for media entering high school, and I've been lucky enough, as you know, to do a show called YXL and then have a podcast. And I realized I feel like media is a very fun way to express yourself. And I think I really wanted to try something with acting just at least once to have it somewhere, because I think it's fun to like let loose and just go insane. And thankfully for me, my character was crazy. My character was like a very, very intense tourist. So I got to just scream and jump around all day. And I think what drew me to wanting to do something like that was experiencing something I hadn't before. I'm always trying to do side quests constantly all the time, because I think it's just more experiences make your life more interesting. So that's part of the reason why I did it. And also, we got to all kind of wear different things. I think I had a dress code where I had to wear a Steelers jersey with a University of Pittsburgh hat. It was so funny because
that was you. Okay.
Yeah.
As I said, I watched and I wish I had. I didn't get the link or realize that we had the link until while I was on the air today. So I kind of had to watch it a little bit at a time. But I saw that scene and I didn't realize that was you.
It was so funny because we walked past a baseball game. So the Pirates were playing and I was walking around in a bunch of Pittsburgh merch, all the wrong Pittsburgh merch.
Yeah, everything but the Pirates.
Everything but the Pirates. And those are the things I love, because I think it's so fun when people think you're kind of like being odd. It might be odd, but I love that experience when you're doing something and people are like, what's going on? I think confusing people and kind of standing out in a crowd, it can be really fun. So that's part of why I wanted to do it, too.
That's something. So you primarily, did you get behind the camera or editing bays at all, or you primarily served as an actor?
I primarily served as an actor and like maybe personality hire every now and then. That's pretty much all I did. After we finished filming on Friday at like 11 p.m. at night, I went home the next day, and then everybody else edited and did music and everything like that. So big kudos to everyone there. You guys, I was getting messages from the group chat, like it was like 7 p.m. It's like, finally, we got the final edit done and things like that. And it was so exciting to see the updates.
How many people, Moss, were on the team?
Oh, I should know this. Hold on. I need to count. So we had C, Sami, my friend Josie, C's partner Francisco, myself, my little sister, Tika, obviously.
Josie.
I already said Josie.
Josie.
So I'll just tentatively. Well, and then we also had Cody, who was audio, but we didn't end up using the audio.
So maybe 9 or 10.
Maybe around 9, and then a couple of extras. It was a big team.
So I'm curious. One reason I ask that is just to get a sense of scale, but also how much footage roughly did you film?
Ooh, so we were filming from probably around 9:30 a.m. on Saturday to 10:30 at night. So I couldn't tell you exactly how much footage we got. Nothing took like an unreasonably long amount of time. We were able to sort of focus in on the things that we wanted to. My guess is probably we got like 3 hours of footage, but I wish C was here so she could tell us for sure because she edited it.
Did you know a lot of times, at least in works I've produced, you end up with a lot of film, or in my case, audio, and the challenge is to render it down to something
yes.
meeting your vision and that's understandable by an audience. Did you know enough about what you wanted that you could assemble it fairly easily, or was it a challenge to figure out how do I use or not use the footage?
We had a very clear vision going in, but we had a lot of trouble with audio, meaning that, you know, around 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, we scrapped our entire vision and just went and edited together something new that is a bit of a fever dream, but we didn't have to use any audio, which was important because the audio was really bad.
That can happen. And so especially with the limitations of time that you're given, which I think it mimics the real world in a lot of cases because you might only have so much time to use a crew or so much money to spend. So those pressures have to be really similar to what people face at a larger scale if they're making a major film.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Nick sent a picture. Here's what happened to me at a film festival that looks like it, he's sort of looks a little bit like a monster.
Did we see his film? I think we might have.
He's in West Mifflin. He didn't give the name of the film. So you've got a kindred spirit that's listening. I saw this scene on Mount Washington, and a tour guide apparently was jumping on the railing at an overlook and went over.
Yes, that was me.
That was you. That was a lot of tension in that scene.
I actually grew up about a block from the overlooks, so I've spent my entire life sort of figuring out what I can do without actually risking going over. There was no danger involved in me jumping up on the railing, I promise.
I'm sure that was the case. So the basic plot of the film is it looks like there are tour guides. I don't want to be a spoiler, but do you want to explain a little bit?
So I am leading a tour group. Me, a tour guide, I'm leading a tour group of three people who are very bored by my tour. I'm a little too over-enthusiastic about stuff that the rest of the tour does not find very interesting. So they all are sort of backing away from the overlook railings, and I'm basically like, oh, look, it's not dangerous. I can even, like, jump up on it, and it's fine, and I fall over. We did a really, really bad and funny jump cut where I go up, I land, and then I'm suddenly out of frame, and I disappear, and they'll run over and say, he fell over the railing. But the plot is essentially that, untethered from a tour guide, they just go and do random stuff for the rest of the day.
I really liked that. I saw it. There's one scene, too, near the beginning where a lot of tourists are jumping into a car.
Yeah. That was – we wanted a clown car situation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's exactly – you got it. You know, you see all these people running into a car to become Yinzers, if only for a day.
Yeah, that was a cool scene. And the Mount Washington scene actually was, I think – one of, like, the favorite of everyone's. It was my favorite to film, at least, because I got to scream, like, a blood-curdling scream at the thing. And I realized you can do anything when you have a camera set up. Like, you really,
yes.
really can. Like, we took over one of the overlooks. I'm screaming at the top of my voice, someone fell over, which, again, kind of scary thing to scream at an overlook because people might take you seriously. But it was so cool. People would stop, and a group of guys asked if they could be in it for extras, but we were like, well, you need to sign all these papers. And they're like, okay.
I felt bad because I thought it would have been fun to have random people in it. But I was like, okay, I mean, like, I would let you in it, but you would have to sign all these papers. And they're like, oh, no, never mind.
Yeah. That's funny. So what you were saying, Sammy, is having a camera on a tripod or lighting or whatever the trappings you're using that are kind of an icon that we are filming here means you can get away with horsing around a lot because people recognize that you're filming.
They truly do. They yes. truly like just they just absorb what you're. You could do the craziest thing and they absorb it and you just you keep going.
Yes, something I have noticed is that people understand what a camera means. They understand that whatever you say probably isn't true when you say it. But one thing I have noticed about the way that people act around film equipment is that they don't understand how sensitive a microphone is.
Oh, yes.
So they'll come in and they'll be talking. They'll be like, oh, wait, no, we have to go back quietly. And I'm like, yeah. We heard you whispering.
Yes.
But it's okay.
Nick wrote that film was called The Passenger, the name of the film he sent the still from, and it was last fall. I can't believe how quickly time has gone by.
I think I saw that one. I think that was in my screening group. I liked it a lot.
Anything else the two of you would like to say about this experience or reflections on it?
I think I am definitely, hopefully, we'll be back doing another film sometime soon. I thought it was extremely fun. And I learned a lot, especially from everyone there and watching people work the equipment. But I think it's an 11 out of 10 experience. And everyone should try it once.
We would love to have you back, Sammy.